Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial, or you can stream us on kgvm.org. We are the Gallatin Valley Community Radio, home of the Men's Network Radio, and I'm James Kozlik, your host. The Men's Network Radio is a resource for men to connect with local and national men's groups, and also to connect with different ways that and with guests that we have on the show, various backgrounds of self-help, therapeutic, and other modalities toward self-discovery. Every so often we go over different books that I might have read or have been passed down to me and that maybe you haven't been familiar with. And I came across a real good podcast by the Alpha Male Coach. His name is Kevin Allure, and he's got a topic here, believing in the universal truth, which is dear to my heart. I've covered some of this in parts with some of my guests, neurolinguistic programming and how we can change and reprogram ourselves and live a more blissful life. And this one really covers a great topic here. So I'd like to get started with that today, and we'll have a little meditation. I came across a really cool meditation, too, by Tara Brach. And if we've got some time, we'll go over maybe another podcast that deals with toxic shame. And that's done by a PhD coach. And we'll see if we have time for that one. But let's get started. Let's get started with Kevin's podcast here. We'll play that for a while. And enjoy. Sit back, enjoy, and open up your hearts.
The universal truth and the model. Now, one of the things that I want to be clear about is that the model is more of something that you observe than something that you create, right? So it's like I did not create the model. My teacher did not create the model. No one created the model. It is just there. It's always there. It's always in action. The universal truth is just working. It's like gravity. When someone discovers gravity, when someone discovers electricity, they didn't actually create it, right? It's always there. It's always truth. It's always existing. It's always working. It's always happening. You know, people just put words and concepts and sounds and functions around these things. But that's the way the model is. That's the way the universal truth is. And that's the way I perceive the model. Because we are not creating models. We are observing models. We are experiencing models. They are happening as life. We are not a separate entity from the model that we observe. We are active participants in it. We are not spectators of it. So we are, whatever we're observing is what we are in participation with, and it happens as it happens, and we cannot be separate from it, just like gravity. Right? We are always with and in gravity. And yet the model is a belief, right? Gravity is a fact. But the model is not a fact, not yet. I see the universal truth and the model as the heliocentric view of the solar system in a world that has knowledge of a still and still holds knowledge of a geocentric view. And so while we can demonstrate the evidence of the model via observation, we are not yet in a place that we can prove it mathematically. And it is beyond the scope of this podcast to do so. And it is also not my intention to convince you of the universal truth or for you to use the model in your life, to apply it to your life. This episode is not about that. This episode is to explain to you the benefits of believing in the model as I perceive them, as I have learned to experience them, as they have worked for me and my students, and how you can use the model to align yourself with the universal truth to create the life of your dreams as a co-creator with the superposition of all things at all times. One of the things that I have evolved through as I have coached myself and many of my students in my programs is that the model just keeps getting more intricate and deeper and useful to me. One of the things that I wanted to share is my involvement in teaching and understanding the model and how I think one of the most important things is believing in it. Simply accepting it as true. That's kind of like the first move, right? And it's not believing in the tool at your own expense. We're not saying just believe in it, you know, for no reason. It's believing in the tool at your own success. It's believing in it because it will serve you. And that's what's been true for me. As I take my work deeper into my own, you know, mind management, my own elevated alpha state, my results continue to blow my mind. And I'm continually astounded by how much power I have in my own life to create whatever it is that I want in my life. Things that I used to think were impossible are now easy for me, brother. And that's what I'm talking about. Like quitting marijuana. Like, when I stopped smoking marijuana, ending all pornography use, and really changing my beliefs around women and sex in general, right? Like, reducing my alcohol consumption to planned events instead of just, you know, on impulse. Creating money with ease and confidence. Shifting my brain from a money scarcity to a money abundance, where money is easy and everywhere. And creating amazing relationships with everyone. You know, kind of removing all sense of jealousy and social anxiety and approach anxiety. Just having amazing relationships with all people. All of these things have changed so much for me because of my deepening experience of managing my mind and elevating my alpha state, using the model within myself to affect my external life. A lot of my work in the beginning was testing it on myself and testing it on my students. And I would have, and still have, a lot of students questioning me and wondering about the model and the universal truth, questioning their models and whether something was really a fact or a thought, you know, that whole, you know, what is a fact, what is a thought, and, you know, the belief, you know, the fabric that kind of holds those together, and did results really prove thoughts, and, you know, some of these intricacies of the model. And after hundreds of models and dozens of students working through dozens or even hundreds of models of their own and really realizing that I couldn't find one exception where the universal truth didn't apply, where the model failed to demonstrate the universal truth in its simple complexity. And that gave me so much confidence in my own life and just really using it as a tool, basically, in the beginning to understand my belief systems that I was having about my past and myself and how much that was affecting me in my present, in my results. I would go through and do models on all my beliefs, all my thoughts that were causing me so much suffering, so much pain. And I would do it all day. Like, I would just do models all day, literally just constant models, right? Just looking for the universal truth, seeing it play out, driving self-knowledge. What is belief? What do I believe? Why do I believe it? And how are these beliefs creating the results I have in my life? I would do it with my students, and then I would do it with myself, and I would just always try to uncover anything that I hadn't been deliberately conscious of and hadn't been deliberately creating. You know, I even would work it out with my friends, you know, and it was like unsolicited coaching in a kind of way. Everywhere I went, I would try to observe the universal truth through the model by separating circumstance from thoughts and paying attention to feelings, actions, and results created from those thoughts. And look, guys, to be honest with you, in the beginning, it wasn't about the model. It wasn't about taking a thought that I was currently having and creating an entire, you know, model all the way through it. It was really just about thought swapping. It was just about, I just want to play with the relativity of thought, of perception, of belief, and opinion, and interpretation. I would ask myself, how many alternative ways are there to look at this circumstance, this situation? I'm going to try and look at it a different way. I'm going to try and think about this in a different way. I'm going to try and think about maybe this in the opposite way that I've been thinking about it and see if it changes anything for me. You know, you guys know probably if you've listened to several episodes of this podcast that I'm a very counterintuitive, counterculture type of thinker because I'm looking at the opposite. I want to see from that superposition, from that quantum alpha state, what else could, what other position, what other perspective, what other opinion could we have on this neutral circumstance. Now, sometimes this would work and sometimes it wouldn't. But what I learned was that it was optional to think what I was thinking, that all thoughts were a choice. And that was life-changing for me, to recognize that my brain wasn't simply making observations factually. It wasn't just taking in data, but that it was having opinions about everything. And those opinions were affecting the way I felt and the way I showed up and acted in my life. This light bulb, this epiphany moment was unbelievably overwhelmingly exciting and empowering. I want you to also know, however, that it was terrifying because I kept looking at everything I didn't want in my life and I started having to take responsibility for it. And I had to own it. If I had a result in my life, I knew that I was the one creating it. If there was a feeling I was having, I knew I was the one creating it. If there was an action I wasn't taking or I was taking, I knew that it was within my ability and within my control to change that. And I hadn't been living that way. Right? I'd been living as a victim. I'd been living at the effect of my life. I'd been functioning as if my life was happening to me and I was just trying to deal with it, right? That sort of victim mentality, the victim of life, if you will, the victim of circumstance. You know, like having all these toxic people in my life and I have to deal with them instead of the truth, which is I have people in my life, and I have toxic thoughts about them, creating toxic relationships with them. You know, the fear, the anxiety, the jealousy, all the other emotions that I believed were coming from things outside of my body that were caused by other people, and I thought were out of my control, I now knew they were coming from my brain, and I was creating those emotions in myself, doing it to myself, not life doing it to me. And when I thought about the truth that my life wasn't happening to me, my thoughts were happening to me, and that I can control my thoughts, everything started to change. So the first phase really is believing in the model by accepting it as true, in the sense that understanding that circumstances are not thoughts, and there are things that exist factually, and then there are things that exist only in our minds, only in our brain. And this is the momentous leap I talk about. This is the 80% of developing in your cognitive mastery. Now, the way I define a circumstance is something that everyone would agree is true, right? Everyone would agree that I'm talking right now. Everyone would agree that day follows night and water is wet. Everyone would agree that there is a computer on a table, right? In all languages, we commonly refer to this object as a computer and that object as a table, and the first is upon the second. There is a computer on the table. What I came to realize quickly is that there were much fewer facts than I thought. There were much fewer truths that existed outside of my brain than I thought. I thought everything was happening and I was just interpreting, right? So that was kind of my first belief. That's what happened, is I watched my students go through, and when they first start to realize it, I watched them have the same cognitive dissonance of recognizing the difference between what they thought was true, what they thought was an observation, and recognizing that it was a judgment, that things that we had been taught are good or things that we've been taught are bad are simply just opinions, and that there is no good and bad that exists in the world outside of us, outside of our brain. All the adjectives and adverbs are really only happening in our brain, and everything else is just neutral. That, I think, is a really challenging paradigm shift for a lot of people. It was for me. But it was also incredibly empowering. I loved knowing that I had a lot more control over my experience than I thought I did. And as I started to evolve into believing the model at that first level, I started using that belief to understand other people's actions. Instead of just understanding my own models and why I was feeling the way I was and why I was acting the way I was able to start looking at other people's behaviors and understand that they were acting the way they act because of what they're thinking and because of what they're feeling. This opened me up to experience other people in a much more loving way, where I wasn't constantly judging them. This is the beginning of building and creating amazing relationships. When you understand at a level beyond intellect, more at the level of belief, of truly knowing it to be true, the universal truth, you start to feel this amazing connection with the human race. You start to understand. It's like, oh, they're doing that because of how they think and feel. It has nothing to do with what I said or did. And, oh, I'm doing this because of how I think and feel. There is nothing I can do to affect how other people feel, and there's nothing other people can do to affect how I feel. And this included people who didn't believe what I believe. This included people who didn't act the way I did. This started to include everyone. This included all people, even the people that did horrible things. I started understanding human nature in a way that I think made my heart really open up, really explode in a way I can only describe as unbound freedom and unlimited compassion. It made me open up to the world. That's what happens when we do this work, when we elevate our alpha state, when we start uncovering our own layers of judgment, our own layers of thoughts towards ourselves, towards other people, and recognize them for just what they are. They're just thoughts in our brain, just sentences in our mind. And we stop using them against ourselves and against other people, and we drop into a way of being in the world that is so much easier, where we don't have to try to shove everything into right and good and better and just push away things that we think is bad or evil or wrong. And instead, we just open up our hearts to understanding all of it, the fullness of what it means to be human, in a way that relaxes so much of the resistance and so much of the judgment in relationships. So many of my students just want to jump to that intentional model, right? That feel better and create my life on purpose model. And what I found was at this transformation, as this transformation kind of happened in my own life, as I applied this model to my own life, I started to notice that I didn't have to do that intentional model, that second model. I would recognize my current model. I would recognize that I was thinking a negative thought, and that I was that thought was affecting me negatively. And instead of having to come up with, you know, this replacement thought or this new thought, I could simply recognize that it was optional, that the thought itself was not the truth, that the thought itself was just a choice, just a perspective, just a judgment. I could recognize that the thought was my source of pain, right? It was how I was perceiving pain, and it would just start to dissolve. I didn't need to replace it. I didn't need to feel better right away. And that kind of took me to the second phase of aligning myself with my alpha by really recognizing that I don't need a new thought to feel better, because feeling negatively is fine. I want you guys to understand that. That's kind of like that second phase. And I will recognize that I'm the one causing the negative emotion with my own thinking, but I don't have to push it away right away. I don't have to get to the better feeling thought so I can feel better, because there's nothing bad about feeling bad. Right? I was opening myself up not only to what was going on in my mind, but also to that next layer, which is really what goes on in our body, what goes on in emotionally. Like, there are people who will tell you that feeling good all the time is okay. Like, that even may be the goal. Like, you just want to feel good. You can be happy, like happiness coaches. And that's totally cool. Although that sounds amazing, it did not serve me. It does not serve me, because anytime I wasn't feeling good, I was feeling bad that I wasn't feeling good and trying to resist the feeling of badness, which in itself was coming from my own subjectivity. I was layering the negative emotion. And when I started recognizing that bad feelings aren't bad, that negative feelings aren't really negative, they just don't feel good, right? They're just vibrations in my cells, but I don't have to make them mean that something's gone terribly wrong. I could just make them mean that I'm having a thought. It took me to the next layer of belief and growth about what I believe it is to be human, what it is to have that experience of contrast, to have that experience of negative and positive. The idea that you can't truly find what you love without truly understanding what you don't love, that you can't understand what feels good unless you understand what feels bad. And when you see that the negative and the bad and the wrong is all necessary in order to feel and define the good, the right, the better. This is where indomitable self-confidence comes from, when you are unafraid to feel negative emotions and even have the desire to feel negative emotions on purpose. You become more and more open to any experience, regardless of what you believe the feeling will be that accompanies it, which floods you with indomitable self-confidence and self-assuredness. Our willingness to be uncomfortable and to open up to the experience of anything in life, knowing that it is only thoughts that create our emotions. And the worst thing that can happen is we think a thought that causes us pain. Then we become fearless of our own emotion. When you are afraid of how you might feel, you give away all your power. When you are not afraid of feeling any emotion, you open up to life in a way that I don't know any other way to open you up as much. Like, understand that. I want to repeat that, actually. So let's repeat that. When you are not afraid of feeling anything, you are now in a place of total freedom and empowerment. You have elevated your alpha state and are walking in freedom as an alpha male. Empowerment and freedom are some of the highest levels of positive emotion you can feel. If you are willing to feel humiliation, if you are willing to feel doubt, if you are willing to feel failure and shame, then you are willing to live on a cognitive level in a way that is so much bigger than the primitive brain, the beta condition, would have us live, would choose us to live, which would be on the couch watching Netflix, which is the equivalent of the primitive cave with the fire inside. So the first layer was my thinking and really understanding that, right? The second layer was really feeling and opening up and believing that I could believe anything, and understanding that all my actions need to be fueled by the emotions that I choose to feel. And some people will say to me, well, I'm fueled by negative emotion. I'm fueled by fear. In fact, I am fueled by fear. In fact, I had an ex-girlfriend who would say to me that the way she made her money, she did very well financially, but she said the way she made her money is through the fear of being poor. She always was afraid of not having enough. She was motivated to make money through that fear. So she's afraid of not having enough, so she gets up and goes to work every day. And I would try to explain to her that she's switching models, right? I could try to explain to her this is not really what's happening, because she would say that she's doing that because she's afraid, but the reason why she's really doing it is not because of fear. The action is not coming from fear. You have to understand how your mind allows you to move forward despite a negative emotion. Negative emotions cause paralysis that cause inaction. It's with a new thought that says, it's worth it, I can do this. It's either confidence or courage. If you think about having fear and then taking action when you're experiencing fear, then you're actually using courage. That's the emotion of courage, even though fear is still present. And so fear is not driving the action. Courage is driving the action. Our actions are always reflective of the way we are feeling. To understand that, I could choose to be fueled by love. I could choose to be fueled by belief beyond my capacities. I could choose to be fueled by happiness and joy and ambition and determination instead of hiding in doubt was one of the biggest light bulb moments that I've ever had with the universal truth. And in a way, the biggest epiphany, I'm going to end with this, guys, because the biggest epiphany that I had in believing in the model was in the results line. I had believed that circumstances are different than thoughts, right? I got that. I had believed that thoughts were sentences in my mind. I knew that. I had believed that feelings were caused by thoughts and that feelings were all good. You know, they're all purposeful. They're all necessary. There isn't a world that exists in which negative emotion is a bad thing, right? Negative emotion is a needed thing. So I had all that. It was a huge move. But this final step in understanding, sort of imbuing the universal truth in me, was how to manifest my life through cognition. No matter what result you want, you create it with your thoughts first. And whatever result you have now, you're creating with your thoughts first. That doesn't mean the circumstances that you have in your life. I'm not talking about the circumstances, you know, what people do, what people say. I'm talking about the results. I'm talking about what you're creating with your thoughts. So if you look around at all your results in your life, you know, your body weight, your relationships, your bank accounts, the house you live in, the car you drive, everything, all of those results, you're creating with your cognition, with your beliefs. This is something that blows minds during consultation calls. You can literally put anything in the R line. If you look at the model, if you've seen it, if you've done it, like I know this is a podcast, so it's hard to see. Go back and take a look at some of the first few podcast episodes because I go through the model. I go through every component of the model. And you can generally put anything in that results line and create it with your mind. Now, there's a difference between understanding something intellectually, like understanding the concept, and then really believing in it. So I went to work. I had to prove it to myself. I stopped watching pornography. I wanted to stop watching pornography. I wanted to stop smoking marijuana. So that's what I did. That was my desire. And you know what? My desire for the R line was not just to stop these behaviors, guys. I wanted to be clear. My desire in the R line, my result that I wanted was to not desire to watch pornography or smoke dope, to have these things be irrelevant to me, you know, to have them be not interesting to me at all. You know, even talking to them now, talking about them now, I feel like they're like another part of my life, like a previous life. And you know what? At the time for me, that felt impossible. That felt like the most possible thing I could ever imagine in my life because I'd lived with both of those things for so long. But I believed in the model enough to put it to work and enough to check it out and put them in the R line. I believed enough to practice that model to see if I could create it for myself. And I think what happened was that when I created that model for myself and I lived into that model and I became that model and I'm now living that result as a solid result in my life, that's when it kind of hit me. It's like, I can put anything I want in there, like anything. There's nothing that can't be done. And again, this happened years ago. Understand, if you know, go back and this happened a long time for me. This was just one of my first experiences with elevating my alpha state. And I did that. I proved it to be true to myself. And you know, since then, I've made hundreds of thousands, maybe $1 million running multiple businesses in multiple countries, guys. Understand that. Like, I've been overseas. I've been to all 50 states, over 45 countries. And in these countries, I've created businesses. I've created wealth. I've created jobs. I've learned to speak multiple languages. And, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, I've seen things. I've done things that most people aren't even thinking about or imagining, and it's all because of the universal truth. It's all because of the model in that results line, deciding what I want and believing into it. And when I work with my students and take consultation calls, I can see that you guys haven't quite made the shift yet because you're allowing yourselves to believe thoughts that will create the opposite. Right? Thoughts like, I'm not good at this. This isn't working for me. I don't know if I like this. I should change my mind. Check this out. If you believed with all your heart that all you had to do was put your deepest desire into the results line of the model, into the results line of the universal truth, and then believe it into being, you would not indulge in any thought that didn't support that. You wouldn't even go there. Your brain wouldn't even, you would stay committed and faithful to your desired model no matter what. You would watch your brain and try to pull it away, and you would come right back, and your brain would try to go there. Obviously, you know, it would try to run there, it would try to hit that, because that's, you know, it's believing what it believes now. But you'd be watching it, you know, you'd be so cognizant of it, so conscious of it. You know, I have an example, I try to be an example of that for you. You can put whatever you want into that results line, into your being. You can create your own reality, and I urge you, I encourage you to just accept this as true, just as you accept the sun will rise tomorrow morning. And brother, if you do that, if you accept the universal truth to be true, the same way you accept the sun will rise tomorrow, it will be so. Now, check this out. I'm a life coach in the general sense, and an alpha state coach, you know, specifically, or whatever you want to call it, cognitive mastery coach, cogno-emotive coach, whatever. But in the life coach industry, there's a lot of people that talk about the woo-woo, right? They talk about the spiritual. They talk about the magic, that pseudoscience, that conjecture. And you guys know I'm a scientist, and I follow the scientific method, and I think that's a lot of reasons why you guys enjoy listening to this podcast, because I'm coming at you from that position, from that real neuroscience, cellular biology, and, you know, biochemistry, neurochemistry, social dynamic, like it's real, you know, real evidence-based stuff. But here's the thing, brother, and I really want you to know this. Quantum physics and creating your own reality is really kind of woo-woo, right? It's kind of out there. Like, if you really think about what we understand and compared to what we don't understand, there's a lot more of what we don't understand. It's beyond our current education. It's having faith in something that you don't quite 100% understand. Living from the alpha state means living in what the beta condition views as a paradox. And I've mentioned this before, you know, the alpha state lives in a paradox. You know, with all the mystical as it all is, there's still a very real science behind it. As out there as it may seem, as woo-woo as it may seem, the conclusions always follow from the premise. However, from the position of the beta condition, the paradox is very real, and I think that's the hardest thing for many of us. Whatever metamorphosis we make, we cannot understand the change from the position of the destination. We can only understand from, or we cannot understand the change from the position of the present moment. We can only understand the change from the position of the destination. We cannot know what it means to be a butterfly while we're still a caterpillar, right? But when we're a butterfly, we understand that it was necessary to be a caterpillar. We understand that paradox. Whatever thing you're committed to believing, it's exactly the same. It's harder to believe it when there is a trace of doubt. And of course, this must be true. There must be this trace of doubt. When it requires faith, when it requires believing in yourself and in your own creation and in what you can do, you have to ask yourself, do you really believe this? Do you want to believe this? It's your choice. It's your conviction. Do you choose to believe that you are the one in control of what you create in this lifetime? Do you believe that your thoughts create your feelings 100% of the time? Not sometimes, brother. 100% of the time. That is the truth. 100% of the time, your thoughts create your feelings. Your feelings drive your actions, and you will create your results in your life no matter what they are, no matter how impossible you think they are. You are the one that is running the model of your life. When you look at the biggest result in your life, that is your model. Do you know what your desired model is, and are you living into it on the day-to-day? Are you believing in it no matter what? Are you believing in it harder than anyone else gives you the right to believe in anything? I'm doing it for me, to prove it true to myself, but also to prove it true for you. To do the thing that seems impossible to anyone who doesn't have the model, but seems inevitable to anyone who does and uses it and understands it. I know it's not a mistake that I am where I am with this model and have used it and taught it to so many people. I know that it's on purpose, and so I know that my ultimate proof in creation and inspiration will come from setting and creating the most possible goal. So the question is, how do you believe in the model?
Well, that was quite a session there by Kevin Aylud, the Alpha Male Coach. Check out his podcast. If you've listened to some of our old programs, I've talked a lot about checking in. My wife and I have done a couple programs and mentioned how we check in with each other every day. And that check-in is part of nonviolent communication. And, you know, but it was really good because you can check in with yourself. You don't even have to check in with anybody else. You can check in with yourself when you wake up in the morning. And you start out with observation. And you can observe your thoughts. just like Kevin was talking, all action comes from thought. And you could observe your thoughts, see where you're judging things or people or whatever, and what you're telling yourself. And as painful as it might be, you can go right into your feelings. How are you feeling? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling dejected? Are you feeling worthless? Are you feeling uplifted, joyful? Check in with your feelings and see where you're at for the day. And then you can go to your needs. And when you go to your needs, it's pretty cool, because then you, from your observation and judgments, into checking into your true feelings, what's in your heart right now, in your gut. And I know we do a lot of somatic stuff in our men's group, where we feel a tightness in our stomach, or short of breath, or stuck in our throats. And then from there, we can get into our feelings. Well, I'm feeling nervous, you know. And it might be maybe you're feeling nervous about a project you have to do at work that day, or whatever it is. And so now you get to go to your needs when you're checking in with yourself. And you say, well, this is what I need. I need to feel happy. In fact, I think in the last show, my wife and I were sharing our experience in Hawaii. And one day I needed joy. And so we went out and I got joy. I took that action and I went out and we went to the beach, I snorkeled with the turtles, and I found that joy that I needed to get for that day. That was my need. And then from the need, you go into a request. So you make that request, you know, I need to do something that's going to give me joy, or I need to do something that's going to complete this project today, or whatever it is. And so you make that request of yourself. And it's beautiful. And it's just, that's why I connected so well with Kevin's podcast. When I heard this podcast, I took it out with me, stuck it in my pocket, put it on full blast, and I was splitting wood. And it's just something I really like to do. And boy, I had to stop in the middle of what I was doing and just listen to that podcast, because it really hit home. And he talks about that universal belief, and really that's what, you know, that what he talked about, the woo-woo moment, it is. There's that universal law out there that a lot of us have missed in our lifetime, and it's that the universe has so much abundance out there. The creator, who, however you believe in this phenomena that we call life, there is that universal law. And if you can connect to it, then everything is there. And once you create and realize how your belief system is created through your thought and how you look at things and how you observe, then all of a sudden you connect into that universal law. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it really is a presence that you're just connected to this outer source, and you actually watch yourself go in. I call it different dimensions of how you look at the world, how you look at people, how you look at what you're doing in your life. And so it's just beautiful. Well, I could ramble on for the rest of the night, but I'd like to do a couple other things tonight. And one of the things I wanted to do is my wife came across this. It's just a quick 8-minute little guided meditation. And so we can do that. I'm going to turn that on, and we'll do that. And then who knows what we're going to do after that, but I'll come up with some surprises. All right.
Make yourself comfortable, however possible. Mm-hmm. Come into a posture that's at ease. Close your eyes. You might take a few long, deep breaths to collect the attention. And allowing your breath to resume in its natural rhythm, you might sense if there's anywhere in your body just to let go a little bit. Shoulders, the hands, just softening your belly. And feeling a quality of presence right here and now, take some moments to scan through your life and choose some situation where you sense you get emotionally stuck, where you get reactive in a kind of regular way. Not something traumatic, that won't serve you right now, but some place where you get annoyed or irritated or start judging and blaming, or maybe you feel hurt or defensive or act out in some addictive way or get anxious about what's around the corner. So some reactive situation where you'd like to have more accesses to your true nature, to your strongest resources. When you have a reactive situation in mind, go right into it. In other words, see closely what room you're in or where you're located when this reaction's coming out. So you're getting a particular example in mind, and you know, just if there's another person involved, see their face and hear the words that are being said. And whatever is going on, as if you're watching a movie, stop it at the frame where you feel most triggered. And this is where we begin, Rain, to recognize whatever's most predominant. You might be recognizing anger or judgment, fear, whatever it is. You might just mentally name it, note it, and then have the intention to allow it. And by that I mean just to create a space where it can be as it is. This is the pause, where you're letting the life here be. You might even say, this belongs right in this moment. And that can give you an entry to investigating a little and sense, where is it living in your body? You might feel your throat or your chest or your belly. So you notice what's going on a bit. And it can help if you ask, well, what am I believing when this is happening? Am I believing that somebody wouldn't act that way if they cared about me? Or am I believing I'm failing in some way? Or that I'm unlovable? Or that I'll never change? And just notice if there's a core belief. And notice when you're believing that belief, how does it feel in your body? What's it like when you're really believing that belief? And see if you can sense where you feel most vulnerable, most reactive, most hurting, most upset. And you might even put your hand there. It'd help to put your hand maybe on your throat or your heart or your belly. And so you're keeping company right now, feeling that feeling. And you might even let your face express what you're feeling, because that can help you get in touch with the feeling. Maybe even your posture changes a little, your shoulders go forward, or your other hand clenches, whatever it is. Breathe into where you feel most vulnerable. And ask that vulnerable place, how do you want me to be with you right now? What do you most need? And listen. Listen from your most awake, high self, from your full awareness, from your heart. What does that place need? Does it need love? Is it saying, please love me? Does it need forgiveness? Does it need that you just allow that it's there? Does it need company? Does it need to know you're staying with it? And as you listen, sense how you might respond to this part of you. Feel the touch. And this is a good time, if you haven't already, to experiment with placing your hand on your heart or on your own body, and let the touch be tender. and let the touch communicate care. And you might sense if there's a message that you can offer to that vulnerable place that could bring some healing. For some people, it's simply, it's okay. Or, it's okay, sweetheart. Or, I'm not leaving. Or, you can trust your goodness. And if it's hard to offer yourself a message, bring to mind someone who loves you, who you trust. Might be a grandparent, might be a child, might be your dog, might be a spiritual figure, might be a formless quality of presence that fills the universe. And let the love and the wisdom of that larger being, let the compassion wash through you. And really let it in right now. Feel that it's flowing through your hands, right into your body, right into your heart, right into the vulnerability that's here. This is nurturing. Notice what happens if you let in. You let in love. And for these last few moments, noticing the quality of presence that's right here, whether it's just a little bit of space that's opened up and a little bit of perspective, or a deeper shift, a shift from a small, separate self that might have felt victimized or reactive to a more spacious sense of presence and compassion. Resting in that presence and trusting that you're becoming more who you really are every time you deepen attention to what's going on inside you. You might take a few more full breaths, and as you're ready, to open your eyes, welcome back, and thank you for having the courage and the willingness to experiment with rain.
Well, what I really liked about this little meditation, and rain is some kind of technique that she uses to get in touch with self. But what I really liked about this is how it really did connect into our physical as well as our thoughts and as well as our feeling world in all three ways, physical, thought, and then our feeling. How did it make us feel? So I really liked that. I really enjoyed that. So I thought I just wanted to share it with you. And a lot of this stuff, I really wanted to be in this men's group and get involved with men understanding ourselves on a personal level because we are different than the female. But boy, I got to tell you, the more that I get into this, the more I discover what men are talking about, I got to tell you, if you have a female partner or friends or whatever, it would behoove us all to get together because everything that I've been exposed to through this men's group concept goes both ways. Both ways. And I know my wife and I have been working on our relationship for over 41 years now. This is our 42nd year. And it's been beautiful. It's been everything you can possibly think of, from negative behavior and arguments and whatever, but we persisted in trying to understand each other. And so this is what's so nice about sharing this with y'all out there. We're going to take a little break. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial. Take a little break and be back for the grand finale. Okay, we're back. So, Fearless, I had to play that, Pink Floyd, and it does. It really takes a lot of courage to overcome our fears. And once we have that courage to take action on our own personal beliefs, then we're getting somewhere. I came across this other podcast that I thought was pretty good. It was with a Dr. John Moore, PhD.
Now, if you're a follower of this show, you already know that I created this podcast because I wanted to extend the walls of my practice and reach three specific groups of men. The first are guys who are open to topics about wellness and naturally gravitate towards material related to self-help. The second group are men who may have been previously diagnosed with something. Could be depression or anxiety, ADHD, perhaps a past trauma, something like that. And then there's this third group, and here I'm talking about men who would never tap on the door of someone like me, a therapist, to share what's going on in their life. It ain't happening, which makes me about as popular as a porcupine in a balloon factory. Well, at least for a lot of these guys. But these same men might be curious enough to put on a pair of earbuds and listen to a show that speaks to something going on in their lives. Regardless of what brought you here today, to listen to this show, I want you to know that I'm thrilled you're listening. I'm really glad you're here. Oh, and before I get, I recognize that women also listen to this podcast. In many cases, they're just hoping to gain new insight into the male mind and to better understand how guys think. And so, if you happen to be a woman listening, here's a big welcome. Now, quick disclaimer, I'm not your personal therapist, and this podcast isn't designed to act as a substitute for mental health counseling. Instead, think of the show and the material that you'll hear as a conduit to learning. Okay, with that said, one of the reasons guys tune into the Men's Self-Help Podcast is to gain concrete, actionable tools for working through challenging life issues. And so my hope is that by listening, you'll be able to get exactly what you're looking for to create momentum for change in your life. Which brings us to today's topic, shame. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's that feeling you get that runs through your entire body that says you're defective or you're less than. Some people even describe shame in physiological terms, meaning they feel a cold chill run up their spine, or they might feel heat going up their neck. Some people blush. Can you relate? If so, you aren't alone. Here's the full-on truth. There's a lot of men who live with shame, and it's directly impacting their self-worth. Insidious in nature, shame has a way of permeating your entire life and damaging your self-perception.
All right, I came across one other podcast that I listened to called The New Man with Tripp Lanier and his wife. It's a couple that does it, Allison Lanier. And I'm just going to play the last 5 minutes of this one podcast that was all about the productivity and the shadow side of goals. And it's pretty good. These people are humorous and it's fun watching a couple together. So let's have at it. Thank you for joining me today. And I hope some of these resources are useful for you because they are available. Here we go. Tripp and Allison.
This, like all the ways that we sort of get out of alignment with what's really true and what really matters. And I think that's part of what I'm, when I say like, well, how do we do this? If we're like, how do we figure out who's driving or how do we get towards the peace and all the things that are awesome when we're stuck inside of protecting, pleasing, improving, or when we're like, oh, that's the limiting fear-based lens that we're looking through. And so I guess I'm trying to get to that, like that. Well, what is that? Oh, maybe it's what really matters.
Instead of numbing ourselves, it's getting curious. Most of us are outrunning our experience, right? We're trying to like hide in a phone or drug, sex, money. Whatever. We're doing a pretty good job of numbing ourselves, and I'm no different. Right.
What do you mean?
Well, just I can easily get stuck in a screen.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I can easily get into places where I'm not in my body for a while, mm-hmm. for periods of a time. So I think we typically do that. But I think I think it's helpful to recognize that we could look at our experience of what's there as information. Mm-hmm. And most of us, I think, have a really hard time meditating, for instance, because we can't distract ourselves in that moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe you try. but it's a lot harder. So what comes up for us when we sit down and shut up and just pay attention to our experience and what's happening between our ears is maybe we start to feel that sense of being trapped. And maybe we start to feel that drain. We start to feel that isolation. We start to feel that boredom, that overwhelm. We start to feel all of those things that we're trying to outrun. What if we didn't want to outrun them? I'm not saying that we wallow in them, because I don't think that helps either. But I do think we could get curious. It's like, huh, well, what is this? Oh, it's anger, it's sadness, it's boredom, it's feeling drained. Like, well, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. What's this? What is it that I would want instead? Okay, interesting, right? That we could pivot. If I don't want to feel angry, I want to feel happy, or I want to feel blah blah blah. Then you start to flip things in that way. Mm-hmm. But I would slow down and just start to inventory what you feel on an hourly basis. Just have an alarm go off on your phone and just say, yeah, how would I describe it? And you can be really broad. In the book, I write down a bunch of words, but there's more. You can look up emotional terms. Why is that funny?
In the book, I write down a bunch of words.
Oh, well, I mean, I actually give this exercise in the book. And it's just like, you just you just look at it and you're like, okay, that's the flavor. We have this chart on our refrigerator that has all the different faces, right? Mm-hmm. And just start to build that emotional intelligence and say, well, what is it right now? And instead of like, oh, it's not okay to feel that way, because I grew up like it wasn't okay to be angry. Yeah, it wasn't okay to be turned on, or what? No, there's a lot of times we got our things like, oh, I'm not even allowed to have my experience. Mm-hmm. But if we just got curious, what is the experience, and we weren't afraid of it, of what it means, because oh my gosh, if I'm married and I don't feel turned on, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Right? That that can be really scary. So most of the time we're trying to outrun that stuff. But what if we got curious about it, and then what might be a desired experience? And then what different choices would I make? If all of my choices have had me arrive at this place where I'm feeling a certain degree of trapped or drained or isolated or bored or overwhelmed, then what might some different choices be? And that's where we'll bump up against this. But I can't do that because that'll be uncomfortable. I can't do that because that'll be risky. I can't do that because what will they think of me?
Yes.
And that's where we can get into some actual real practices, and maybe that's where we touch next time. But we can get into some places where we can start to confront those things and really see if there's a monster under the bed.
Yeah, yeah. And that I definitely want to touch on that some more, because that the thing that in my work, which is many things, but one of the things is relationship with others. And one of the things that I hear about the most is when we get into these little places of, great, this is the thing that I want most, and here's what's in the way, and the phrase is, well, I can't say that.
Right.
I couldn't talk to him about that.
Right. It's uncomfortable. It's too risky.
I couldn't tell her that.
Right.
Like, she'll flip out.
That's
and so that's part of what you're saying is like there's the protecting of the discomfort.
Right.
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 Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Trip Lanier, host turned interviewee.
You did throw a curveball at me. I didn't know you were going to bring up stuff from the past. So
I didn't either.
Okay.
You wanted my genuine curiosity, though. Mm-hmm. So so now you got it.
Well, I hope that helped today. I hope you follow the progression of creating our thoughts into new belief systems. I want to thank all the people that podcast today, and I hope you go find them and listen to more of them. We had a podcast, The Alpha Male Coach with Kevin Aylud, The Men's Self-Help Podcast, Dr. John Moore, and The New Man Podcast with Trip and Allison Lanier. And the meditation today was from the Awake Network and Tara Brock. Again, this is KGVM 95.9 FM from Bozeman, Montana, the Men's Network Radio. See you next week.